to the WyoNation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
This is episode 2 of the Wyo Nation podcast. I am Chad Smith, and he is Brad Reed.
Hello.
Well, hello, good sir. Let's get the crowd fired up. So we're yes. here to, in the second episode, to speak all things Wyoming football after Wyoming's 17-12 win over the Montana Grizzlies. And the other big news from the game is that you, sir, Mr. Brad Reed, he represented WyoNation.com in the most professional manner and was not kicked out of the press box.
I can verify that I was not kicked out of the press box, though there is a strict no cheering policy in the press box, and it took a lot of effort on my part to not start yelling and making a scene when DJ May busted off that 53-yard run or when the Cowboys blocked that punt down in the deep in the Grizz territory. It took a lot of effort on my part to not make an ass of myself. So I figure I did pretty well. It was a ton of fun to watch it up there and watch guys like Mike Varell and Robert Gagliardi do their work. And those guys do a lot of writing during the game and after the game and pretty much any time that they are not staring at the field, they're writing. Quite an experience.
Yes, and did you actually write, I forget, did you write a blog from your experience or from the game, a game report?
I did. I did I got started on a blog, and then I decided I wanted to go out and get dinner because I was kind of hungry, so I finished it on Sunday night. But, yeah, I did some writing up there, did a lot of tweeting, and Scott Nolf from the Wyoming Trib-Eagle told me I was not being positive enough for being a fan site, so I had to crank up the sugar just a little bit. All in all, it was a good time.
Very good. So let's talk about that game just really briefly here. What are your initial thoughts on the new style of football we're seeing, both offensively and defensively? What stood out to you?
Well, this is definitely not the Dave Christensen hurry up and get the ball off, that's for sure. We got a really heavy dose of the rushing attack, if you hadn't noticed. Zach Van Manen played very well at fullback. He had a really nice game and opened up some nice holes for Sean Wick and DJ May. And man, Sean Wick, he is night and day from last year. He had a good year last year, but he's gotten bigger, he's gotten stronger, and now he carries people on his back because he doesn't like to be tackled, apparently. DJ May coming off of being out of all last year with a shoulder injury, he came back and ripped off a 58-yard run, you know, and that was a terrific play by him. I would say we probably need some help at quarterback. We got plenty of weapons out in the flat, but we got to get that ball to him. And Kierkegaard just, he wasn't keeping up very well, but to be fair, he was being harassed by one of the best defensive ends in the country most of the game, so that didn't help either.
Yes,
defensive side of the ball, I would say 100% improvement. That defensive line is nasty. They were after Jordan Johnson, either chasing him or knocking him down just about every time he dropped back to pass. The Grizz have a terrific rush offense, and they held the Grizz rushing to 43 yards. And I don't think the Cowboys probably ever did that in Dave Christensen's entire coaching career at Wyoming.
Yeah, I think under Christensen, if we held someone to 43 yards of rushing in a quarter, that was considered good.
I was just about to say, if we held them to 43 yards in one quarter, it was probably a win at that point. But man, that defensive front seven, that's, and Mark and Zacha, holy cow. He was trying to kill everything that had a maroon hat on Saturday. Ended up with like 12 tackles, tackle for loss, sack. Guy was everywhere.
Yes, and he was named a Mountain West player, defensive player of the week, correct?
Yes, defensive player of the week. That was, that was good for him. It seems like, you know, we get a couple of Cowboys here and there that rip off really good defensive performances, but the defense as a whole just hasn't been that good. But this year, it's I can't even tell you night and day difference. They look so much better this year. They look a lot more disciplined. Yeah, I think people are really going to enjoy this style of football, as boring as it might be sometimes.
Well, you know, yeah, exactly. The running game is going to be heavily featured, and I think people are going to warm up to that. And the defense is certainly going to be more aggressive. You're going to see a lot more blitzes. They're going to try to make plays instead of trying to contain the other team, as we've seen in years past. And I'll just end my last point here is, regardless of style play, people like to win. And if your style of play ends up winning, then you will be looked upon more favorably than another style of football, even though it may be less exciting than, you know, a five-wide Missouri spread-type offense. I think the people of Wyoming are really going to warm up to this running game and this hard-nosed defense.
Yeah, that defense is going to be, I don't know, they're going to give people fits this year, and I think they're going to surprise a few people. But, you know, it was really refreshing to see, you know, just some good disciplined football. I think, and even on both teams, I think we were into like the second or third quarter before we saw our first flag of the game. You know, and that says a lot about the discipline of this team, too.
That's true. Yeah, it didn't happen until late in the second half before there was the first flag. So that is a very good point that we will have to get to here in a second. So let's turn the page here and let's look forward to the game this Saturday against the Air Force Academy. Again, Wyoming will be home, and we are opening up Mountain West Conference play early in the season. And so there's some history here because, believe it or not, this is now the 16th year of Mountain West football, and this is going to be the eighth time Wyoming has opened up the conference schedule against Air Force. Now, in that time, in the first seven games, we are 3-4, but here's the kicker. We are 0-2 at home. So this is another home game, so we got to try to break that. So I don't know. Why do you think it's a scheduling quirk to where we're always facing Air Force so early in the conference season?
Well, I think it's a kind of a combination of things. I mean, Air Force has their goofy schedule where they basically play the same three teams out of conference every year, actually it's usually about the same four. They usually open up with a pretty awful FCS team usually. Then they've always got Notre Dame, Air Force, and Army on the schedule, and typically those military games are either halfway or later in the season. So Air Force usually has a front-loaded conference schedule and a few non-conference later in the season. So, yeah, it makes sense to me. They've got, playing Army and Navy every year certainly puts a cramp in their scheduling style, though.
Mm-hmm. No, it definitely does. So that is a very good point by you. So Wyoming will be hoping to break the schneid here and not go 0-3 at home in the Mountain West in conference openers against the Air Force. So let's just talk about this game in a little more detail here. And I think this is fascinating because we are now completely doing a reverse from what we've seen in years past, to where, you know, Wyoming would be the, you know, the high-powered passing offense going against the triple option on the ground. But now we're looking at a matchup to where our bread and butter is the running game and their bread and butter is the running game. So what do you think about
Big Ten football?
Yeah, well, you think it's some Big Ten football in the mountains?
Yeah, it's going to be you know, if both defenses are playing pretty well and the offenses have trouble getting traction, oh my God, it's going to be horrible to watch. It's just going to be ground and pound for 60 minutes. It might be the fastest game of the season, though.
Yeah, no, that's going to be my next point. I go, how quick do you think, with both teams having the same strategy, to just, you know, grind out the clock, this could be one of the quickest games in the history of the program.
Yeah, I'm sure beat writers are salivating at this game right now, thinking, holy cow, this might be the quickest game in history. We may get our stories done on time.
All right, so we know that you mentioned the Wyoming running backs both had very good days. And then it must not be overnoted that the third-string running back, the freshman kid, he got a carry. what was that again? You said Hill, right?
Brian Hill.
Yes, Brian Hill. He got a carry in a situation to where both the other running backs were gassed, and he got, you know, positive yards, and I do believe he picked up a third down or a first down on third down.
Yeah.
His only carry.
That was his first ever collegiate carry. He carried it for 18 yards in what was a very critical part of the game. And, you know, Craig Bull had the faith in him to give him the ball and let him tear a run off down the field. And that essentially sealed the game for Wyoming right there. And after the game, Craig Bull said something to the effect of that fourth quarter drive was the kind of drive that breaks a defense's will. And that's exactly what that drive did to the Montana defense.
Yes, and we were definitely breaking their will. And would have done so a lot sooner, I think, if it wasn't for the darn lightning delays. It came at a very bad time.
That's Mike Varela's fault. Wherever he goes, lightning follows.
So to get back to this, running game stuff, do you think that given how Hill ran the ball on that important carry, do you think we'll see a little more of him this week?
It wouldn't surprise me. I don't, you know, I'd maybe expect him 5 carries or so. He's not going to get anything significant, but I think he's going to carry the ball enough to be a nice change of pace. But you're still going to see a very heavy dose of Wick and May.
And no
doubt.
By the
way, I came up with a nickname for Sean Wick.
Okay, go for it.
I like the Wick Dozer for him.
The Wick Dozer.
It probably needs some refinement.
The Wick Dozer. I don't know. We're going to have to put that to like a forum vote or a Twitter vote.
I'm going to put it into Photoshop and see what happens.
The Wick Dozer. Oh, there you go. That could be cool. Okay, so let's before we move on to talk about the defensive side of this game, there's some important news that we need to get to here in terms of this glorious Wyoming football podcast, and that is the fact that we are now approved on both ends of the mobile war spectrum, to where you can listen to this podcast on a mobile device. If you have an iPhone, an iTunes, we're approved there. So look up WyoNation on iTunes, and you could download this podcast there. As well as we are now on Stitcher Radio, which I think you can find that on an Apple too, maybe. But I know Android, that's the big thing on Android, is the Stitcher Radio. So WyoNation is now on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And if you want to get the exact links to those, you could check them in the blog for this podcast, or just search in either of those apps. Just search Wyo Nation and you'll find us. How cool is that?
We're big time now.
That's right. We are now. You could listen to Wyo Nation podcast anywhere in the world, basically.
That's a scary thought.
That is a scary thought. So that's the big news there. We're happy. So thank you. Thank you to all of you who have listened to our first episode and continue to listen for the second. So now let's talk about the other side of the ball here in this run versus run. Now, you just talked about the discipline in terms of not having penalties against Montana. And so how are we going to use that discipline to slow down the option attack of the Air Force Academy?
You know, whenever you – this is true of any triple option team or – anybody that runs some goofy offense, and that's, you know, gap assignment and discipline. I mean, stay in your lanes, follow your assignment, you know, be consistent, and you can shut down the triple option attack. And basically watch your knees, because they will chop block you every single time. But, you know, stopping the triple option comes down to the same thing every time. Gap assignment, stay in your lanes, you know, don't follow the ball carry because you have no idea where the ball's going, so... You know, very important things to stop in the triple option. Do those things, yes, and you're going to have a good day against Air Force.
Yes, good old-fashioned assignment football. And
watching that team Saturday, I'm sure that's a very big point of emphasis, is assignments and, you know, very well done.
Mm-hmm. And if there's a coach who knows how to stop the option, well, it should be Bull, because he was – on the staff at Nebraska in, you know, the 80s and the 90s when they were running the triple option. So he got to see that every day in practice. So if he doesn't know what needs to be done, to stop the triple option, well, then nobody does. So yeah, that is something to look for as well. Now, since you have the...
You are missing the most important point of this week, is even though Dave is gone, it is still Howdy Doody week.
Well, whatever. I don't... Calhoun, whatever. I mean, he doesn't really bother me one way. I mean, in hindsight, I think it's okay for us to say. Now, I was probably one of the harshest critics of Christensen. Let's just say he was an ass. So he might have been our ass at that time, but now that he's gone and the things that he said about our program, you know, at this point in time, I don't think we really have to defend him. And I'm more than willing to forgive Troy Calhoun for whatever he may have done, no matter how big people view his transgressions.
I think we should make him pay every single year we play him.
Well, yeah, it's true. I want to beat the crap out of him, but I don't personally dislike the guy.
I'll dislike him as long as he's in the Air Force, probably.
Okay, that's fine. That's good. That's a good balance. You could be good cop, bad cop type of thing here.
Always the bad cop.
Yeah, so to get back to this as well, and I had a brilliant idea in my head and I forgot. Oh, no, here we go. Since you are the resident FCS expert, would you be able to know if Bowl has faced any triple option teams in the past and, you know, maybe how they might have done against those teams?
Ooh, I wish you would have asked me that before we started this podcast.
Oh, it's okay. So off your head, you don't know anybody in your guys' neck of the woods who runs the triple option besides, I think I heard some comments about Georgian Southern.
Cal Poly was running triple option for there for a while. Georgia Southern runs it too. I'm just looking up some stats here to see. I'm looking to see if North Dakota State ever did play Georgia Southern in the playoffs.
I'm not sure that they did.
Georgia Southern is certainly notorious for running that. They are 3-0 against Georgia Southern. And actually, yeah, they played him in 2011 and 2012.
Okay, so you got NDSU, the scores for those?
2011, NDSU beat him in the semifinals 35-7 in the Fargo Dome. And looks like in 2012, they beat him 23-20 in the Fargo Dome.
Okay.
Actually, the first time they played was 2006, which, yeah, Bull was there then. And they were 34-14, and that was in Statesboro. So Bull is 3-0 against the Georgia Southern triple option.
Okay, so he schematically, we know he understands it. It's just a matter, do we have the talent at this point in time to be able to shut down someone as Air Force who is as efficient as they are?
And it looks like he only played Cal Poly twice, three times. He's 2-2 against Cal Poly. But I don't. Cal Poly seem to go between offenses pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think right now they're currently running triple option.
All right. Well, let's get a round of applause for you. That's what.
Chad, this live studio audience we have is terrific.
Yeah, and that's what we like to call here in the podcasting industry, on-air research. And Brad just came up with some awesome on-air research. So let's get on to the keys of the game here. So in your eyes, what are the biggest things Wyoming has to do to defeat the Air Force?
God. We had Kierkegaard was responsible for two turnovers on Saturday, one fumble and one, my lord, interception in the end zone. You know, we can't be turning the ball over against a team like Air Force. They'll take the ball and pound it for 8 minutes on our defense. So, no turnovers is big. Like I was talking about earlier, assignment football, stay in your gaps. You know, stay in your gaps, stay in your lanes, and, you know, hit whoever's in front of you, basically. Don't let the ball carrier out on the wings. That's when things get tricky. Cale Pearson's going to be a problem, I'm pretty sure. He's got 1 or 2 years starting under his belt already. He's a really good quarterback. He's a really good running back, I guess. There's no quarterback in at Air Force usually. And, you know, those are the big things. I think Wick and May are going to get their yards one way or the other. Maybe a splash of Brian Hill in there for maybe 25, 30 yards. So those are my big keys for the game.
Yes, and I only have one, and we echo the same. Now, with both teams running the ball, possession And the number of possessions are going to be key. And so you're right. If both teams' offenses are clicking and they're just pounding the ball, it's easy for a team to chew up 6, 7, 8 minutes with a drive. And so if both teams are doing that, it's conceivable that this game you could only have maybe 6 to 8 possessions in the entire game.
That's really scary to think
about. And if you turn the ball over even once under those circumstances, you're going to be in a world of hurt, as they say on the Big Lebowski. A world of hurt.
Excellent reference.
And we don't want to be in a world of hurt. So let's just get me back to this now. I did a Wyoming football stat pack blog on wyonation.com, so check that out. And the biggest thing that stuck out to me is, you're right, with the 2 turnovers by Kierkegaard, Wyoming has now turned the ball over in 14 games in a row.
Oh, God.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
That is a very, very sad stat.
That's a terrible stat.
That and Jesus Christ.
Good football teams don't turn the ball over, and at that level, to go 14 games in a row turning the ball over can't happen. And here's the scary part. The last time we didn't turn the ball over, here's the date. November 17th, 2012, at UNLV. 2012 was the last time we played a football game, November of 2012, to where we didn't turn the ball over.
My goodness. I was barely in my 30s then.
Yeah, so just think about that. So this game, turnovers are going to kill us. And Kierkegaard's going to learn because, you know, he basically, you got to view him as a first-year starter. He's just a first-year starter who happens to be a redshirt, you know, senior. But if he turns the ball over, he won't be the quarterback for long. And
no,
so
no, Tom his, is waiting in the wings.
Yeah, so his longevity, requires him to take care of the football. And I think he will. He'll learn. And, hey, man, he's got to learn now to, hey, if you're getting rushed, it's better in this offense just to take the sack. And if nobody's open in the end zone, just throw it away and take the 3 points.
Yeah, and I posted the interviews from the post-game press conference, but Kierkegaard, you know, he was very, you know, very forward in saying that, you know, he needed to make better decisions in that game. And I think one of the first things out of his mouth was, you know, I should have flown that ball out of the back of the end zone. So he, you know, he's recognizing, you know, where he needs to make improvement. And hopefully he can take some stuff from this game and put it to use when it really matters in conference play.
Yes, and just to backtrack here, I think the Montana game was a good game for us to play. It's okay. I'm not a big fan of playing FCS schools because I don't think you learn anything. But in this case, we played a very good one. So
Montana's
I think we were
FCS school.
Yeah, we were able to learn a little something. They tested us. They're going to learn. So now we're a little more battle-tested than we would be if we were playing, you know, some garbage FCS school that we'd have won, you know, 45-10 or whatever.
Can you imagine the horror if we'd have played North Dakota State this weekend?
Yes, that's good that that wasn't on the schedule.
God, you see what they did to Iowa State?
Yes, I watched a good portion of that game.
Poor Cyclones.
Yes. So, all right, so don't turn the ball over, Wyoming. Do that, and our chances of victory are very, very high.
Agreed.
So that gets us down here to the end of our journey in this Air Force preview to where we have to put our necks out on the line.
I'm glad I have a short neck.
Yes, and this is prediction time, sir. So, Brad, tell me what you see in your crystal ball for War Memorial Stadium this Saturday.
Well, my crystal ball looks more like a beer can, but whatever. I would say, I don't know, this is a tough one. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair, but sometimes I always predict, this will be a low-scoring affair, and then they put 60 points on the board. You know, I'm thinking this might be a 20-10 game. 20-10 Wyoming, because, you know, I'm a homer like that. I think the Cowboys have, you know, 2 or 3 touchdowns in them. I don't really know what to see out of Air Force. They played Nicholls State last weekend and destroyed them, but Nicholls State is also an awful FCS school. So, I don't know. Air Force is always hit and miss for me. The benefit here, we played at the War in front of the home crowd. I think the weather's supposed to be okay. Laramie okay, anyways. You know, I like 20-10.
Okay. And I will let you have the only prediction, because I can't. If I make a prediction, people are going to hate me.
That's okay. People hate me too, so you might as well make your prediction.
Okay, well, I'll go for it. I just, as you said, this is a very, very difficult game to handicap, because we really don't know what to expect out of Air Force, because they really didn't play anybody. And for us, it's still too early in our process to decide how things are actually going to work. I mean, I understand what we want to do, but can we do it against a team such as Air Force? Oh, boy. So, and I still have big questions about the defensive line and the running game. Until I can see them do it against somebody who I know could run the ball, I'm going to have my doubts in my head. And I have doubts in my head about our quarterback play, to where we're going to have to be able to pass the ball at least a lot better than we did against Montana to win this football game. So with those question marks in mind, I think this will be a close game, because the Air Force-Wyoming game is always close. But for some reason, Air Force seems to play very well in Laramie. So I'm going to go 23-17 Air Force as I duck my head.
Man, people are going to hate you.
From people throwing bottles and stuff at me.
At least it's not the piss-filled balloons they used to throw at BYU, right?
Yeah, so don't hate me, people. I'm sorry. I want Wyoming to win, of course, but for a prediction, I'm going to give you my honest assessment as this, as an amateur podcast host. I have to do my due diligence.
I'm glad you mentioned picks. I need to make my pick 'em for the Wyo Nation pick 'em league this week.
There we go. And if you haven't joined, I guess you could always join late.
You can join late. Oh, wait, I already made my picks. Cool.
So, and that's what we like to call on-air babbling from Brad there. But here's a couple notes, actually, before we wrap up the show here, Brad, is Wyoming on Saturday is looking for their 300th home win in their history.
Wow.
We have 299 wins out of our 504 home games, which is a 61% home winning percentage in the history of the program. So beating Air Force would be definitely great, because it'd get us to 2-0 in the season, get us to 1-0 in the conference, but also give us our 300th home win in the history of the program.
That's a really good stat you got there.
Yes, that was in the media release from this week, so I can't. It's not like I researched this myself. I wish I could say that I did, but I did not. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up, unless you have anything else to say.
I think we've covered just about everything.
All right, well, thank you for listening to this, everybody. If you're traveling to the game, travel safe, of course, and come back next week, where we will talk about what happened in the conference opener. So, for Brad Reed, I am Chad Smith. This has been the Wyo Nation Podcast.